We want to continue our study from last Sunday night about truth, that truth that we recognize is part of the divine nature, and this has been part of our very general subject as we have been delving into a study of the parts of the love of God, the divine nature, to try to understand more about the nature of God, recognizing that it's God's purpose for us to be conformed to the image of Christ, who is in the image of the Father, so that we can be partakers of the divine nature. So we see through God and His Son Jesus Christ what we're supposed to be like in heart and mind. So that's why we're studying in detail these qualities, these characteristics, these parts of the nature of God, that we can seek to have all of these things in us. And so we started last week on this subject of truth, as truth is part of the divine nature. God is true in every way. All of His works, all of His judgments are true. And we saw how the fruit of the Spirit includes truth, and how Christ, Jesus Christ, God's Son, exemplifies that truth. And then we were from there starting to look at the pathway of truth, the things that we have to follow, the things that we have to implement and do in order for us to be true like God is. And the first thing that we looked at as far as that is concerned, the first step on that pathway of truth is for us to love the truth. It's absolutely essential that we love the truth, and that begins with that truth about God, His existence, the truth that God is our Maker, that we belong to Him, that is our duty to live for Him and to serve Him. We have to love that truth, that we're going to live for our Lord, not for ourselves or anything or anyone else. And if we don't love that truth, then we're not going to be able to fulfill the rest of the pathway and find that truth of God. So it's our necessary first step to love that truth so we can then seek the Lord, so we can find. So from there, we're going to continue our study tonight, looking at the next step in this pathway of truth, and that is having loved God's truth, or that we do love God's truth as a basis, we then have to hear. And by hearing, that means to receive and believe God's truth. Hearing the truth, though, means that we're hearing God's word. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus prayed to His Father that last night that He was upon the earth. He prayed, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth." Psalm 119 and verse 142 says, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and Thy law is the truth." And then nine verses down in Psalm 119, verse 151, "Thou art near, O Lord, and all Thy commandments are truth." So God's law is truth, His commandments are truth, His word is truth. So when we want to, if we love the truth, well, that first truth that God exists, as we were looking at last week, that's a truth that we don't have to read from the Bible to know that there's a God. The truth of the existence of God is manifest in His creation. So God has provided the abundant evidence and proof of His existence from the things that are made. We're part of that proof that there's a God. Well, then we have to seek God, but to seek God to know His will, there's only one place to find that, and that is in His Word. His Word is that truth. His law, His commandments are that truth, and we have to go to seek it there. Isaiah 25 and verse 1 says, "O Lord, Thou art my God, I will exalt Thee, I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." So God's counsels, those things that He has spoken of old, all that He has said, of course, is truth. And then Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." We see the value of that truth of God. In the New Testament, John chapter 18, verses 33 through 38, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered me thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. Everyone, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, "I find no in him no fault at all." Well, there's that question, what is truth? Well, Jesus was showing if we are of the truth, then we're going to listen to him. We're going to hear his voice. Well, that's identifying, answering Pilate's question right there. What is truth? Truth is what is found in Christ's voice, the words that he has spoken. The New Testament, of course, is our law today. Now, the words of the Old Testament are true. God spoke those words. Those are words of truth we learn from. We must. They are vitally important. We're commanded in the New Testament to study, to know those things that God has spoken in the Old. The entire Bible is the truth, is God's truth. And the Old Testament, it will instill in us or give us the wisdom and be that schoolmaster that we can learn from so that we can obtain the salvation that's available through Christ in the New Testament by our believing in Christ and following him. The law that we're under today is the New Testament law, the law of Christ. And so we have to hear the voice of Christ's mouth, which is that word of truth. In John chapter 8, Gospel of John 8, verses 44 through 47, Jesus said to these Jewish leaders that did not believe in him, he said, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God." Well, one of the important things that Jesus is teaching there is that we all have a spiritual father. It's not a question of do we have one or not. And we cannot opt out of that and say, "Well, I'm not going to be anyone's child or anyone's servant." The question is, whose child are we and who are we serving? Now, Jesus makes it clear it's either going to be God as our father or it's going to be the devil. One or the other. We have to make that choice. But what is the nature of the devil? There's no truth in him. He's the father of lies. So there's the opposite of what God is. God is light. There's no darkness in him. He is true. All his ways are truth. And so that goes back to so many of those scriptures that we looked at last week describing that nature of God and his truth. We see the devil is full of lies and there's no truth in him. Well, who are we going to follow? Who are we going to listen to? If we will not hear God's truth, if we won't listen to him, then that identifies us as being the child of that one in whom is no truth, the devil. But if we're of God, we're going to hear what? We're going to hear his voice. Now, today there's a lot of dispute or a lot of unbelief about the very subject of truth. How many people today even believe there is a such thing as truth? And that truth is something that is objective, that is something that we can find as a body of information in spiritual matters, and that it's contained within the Word of God. I mean, that's something that very few believe. And why is that? Because they're listening to the devil, the father of lies, in whom is no truth. But there is a truth, and it is found in God's Word. It's by hearing his voice and following that. We can know God's truth, but we have to listen to the very voice, the Word of God. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6, 1 John 4, 6, he says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." See, there it is again, that contrast. The spirit of truth, the spirit of error. Well, the spirit of truth would identify us with belonging to or being children of whom? God. that spirit of error, who would that come from? The one in whom there is no truth, the devil. So again, as we see, there's one or the other, the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. There is God, there is the devil. We're going to follow one or the other. But if we are going to be of the truth, if we are of God, then we're going to hear the word of God. So we see that over and over again. This teaching that God is true and his truth is revealed to us in his word that we have to listen to. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." He says we've heard that word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. So there he's referring to the gospel of Christ, the New Testament, as the word of truth. I mean, that's the very description of it. And then 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because that when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." I mean, how many passages do we have? We just have surveyed through several Old and New Testaments that point that out. That God's truth is revealed in his word, and we have to listen to that word, God's word, to hear and find that truth. Some will not hear it. That's just the fact. I mean, just like we saw in John 8, that's the way of the world. Sadly, even some brethren will turn away from it. In Galatians 4:16, Paul said to the brethren in Galatia, he says, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Now you can go right to the beginning of chapter 1 and see where he was marveling that they had been so soon removed from the gospel, from Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, into error. They had left the truth. And now, having left the truth, this one who spoke the truth, they had become his enemy. Well, somebody that's going to no longer follow the Lord but follow the devil, in whom is no truth, how are they going to respond to the truth? They're not going to like it. And they will oppose those who speak God's truth. So, of course, we see that in the world very much today, don't we? What happens if we go out there and we're speaking the truths of God? What's going to happen when we utter God's truth in this world today? Well, we can see what happens with that. So we need to, though, continue to be steadfast and not turn away from that truth of God and never depart from it. But that truth, then, we have to hear it, but we also have to know it, and it has to then be in us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, let's turn there, 1 Timothy 2:4. Speaking of God, it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." I mean, that's God's desire for every man, that we would all come to that knowledge of the truth. Is there a truth? Yes, there is a body of truth, the truth. And it's found in God's word, and it can and must be known. Psalm 51 and verse 6, he says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." So there is a truth. And it's God's desire that his truth be in our inner man, along with his wisdom there. And Proverbs 3:3 says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." So we have to hear this to the point that it's ingrained in us, written in our hearts and minds, where it is a part of us, where we know that truth. It's a lot more convenient nowadays when we have these phones, and I think most of us, and this is a very excellent thing for us to have. If you got one of these, you might as well have the Bible on it, to have that there where we can access that, that's very helpful. It's a lot easier to literally be able to access Scripture that way than to have to carry an actual Bible around everywhere we go. We actually are carrying a Bible around everywhere we go now. It's on your phone there. So that is helpful. That's one good thing about that. But there's still going to be a lot of situations where we may not be able to go in that moment of time to be able to actually try to look up a verse about something. But we've got in that particular situation, whatever that may be, we have to make a decision about what we say or how we say it, what we do or what we're not going to do in that particular situation. What is it that's going to guide us as our light to make so that we make the right decision in that situation, in all situations? Well, it's God's truth. Well, how are we going to access that? Well, it needs to be written in our hearts and minds. We need to know the will of God so that we know what to do in every situation. Now, does that mean that we're necessarily going to be able to cite the book, chapter, and verse? Well, that's great if we can do that. But the key thing is that we know that truth, and so that we know what to do and what not to do in every situation. Well, that only is going to come by our hearing God's word and hearing it and studying it with diligence to the point where that's what is written in our hearts and minds. Let's turn to John chapter 6, Gospel of John chapter 6, verses 32 through 35, first of all. It says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And then skipping down to verse 53, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but that he that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Sometimes we read that those verses with the Lord's Supper. There is a way in which we can find a connection there. But Jesus is specifically speaking there about himself being that bread of life. Well, he is that bread of life. He is that manifestation of God's truth in everything that he lived and spoke. What do we need to do? Well, we need to eat him, drink him, where he is then in us and a part of us. That's the essence of what he's teaching us there. And so we have to do that if we're going to live forever. But if we do that, we will live forever. We will never hunger nor thirst. But that's the word of God that has to be in us. He is the word. John 17, verse 3, Jesus says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." That is what eternal life is, for us to know God and his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:20, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." So he says that again. But how many of these scriptures are showing us how God is true and Christ is true? And we have to know the Father and we have to know the Son. That's what eternal life is. Well, we have to know that truth, which we're going to have to find in his word. Hebrews 10:19-23. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." So Jesus has provided that way for us. And we need to draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith and hold fast to that profession of our faith without wavering. Well, that means then we're going to have to not just hear it, but of course do it. We have to obey and walk in that truth of God that we hear. We have to love it. We have to hear it. It has to be written in us. But if we do all that, but then don't follow through in our actions to actually do what he's taught, then what is it going to accomplish for us, or how is it going to benefit us if we hear and don't do? Are we blessed before God if we're hearers of the word but not doers of the word? We have to be hearers, but what if we're hearers only and not doers? What's that going to do? What is our faith if it's faith only and it does not have works of obedience? What is a faith without works? Well, see, that's dead. So we have to obey that truth. We have to walk in that truth. Now, we're not going to obey or walk in what we don't know. And that's why we have to start with a love of it, and we have to start then with by hearing that and knowing it. But then we have to do it. For 3 John 3:4. 3 John 3:4. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So we have to walk in that, and that will give the Lord great joy. And isn't that something, it should give us all great joy when we are doing that. That should encourage all of us. And doesn't it do that? Doesn't it encourage each one of us when we see our brethren following the truth and being steadfast? I mean, that's a great encouragement to us. And it should also be an encouragement to us to know that we can please our Father and bring Him joy by our walking in His truth. So that truth does need to be in us. As He says, He testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. So it's got to be in us, and then we've got to walk in it. We have to do it. 1 John 1:5-8. 1 John 1:5-8. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So we're not telling the truth. We're lying if we say that we have fellowship with God if we're walking in darkness. And if we're walking in darkness, He says, we're not doing the truth. What's the difference between doing the truth and walking in the light? That's exactly the same thing. He's using both of those phrases right here together in describing what this means for us to be in fellowship with God. We have to walk in His light, in His truth, doing that truth. And so that means that, of course, it has to be God's word, according to His word, that we're walking, because that His word is that truth. Psalm 86:11. Psalm 86:11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." So do we desire to be taught of God through His word so that we can then walk in His truth? Well, how are we going to walk in His truth if we've not been taught by Him? The only way we're going to be taught by Him is in His word. He's not going to speak directly out of heaven to us. He's spoken from heaven through His prophets, especially through His Son Jesus Christ with the New Testament. And we have that body of truth, the Bible, these scriptures, right here. And that's what we have to go to learn, to be taught of God. But then we have to walk in that truth that we learn of Him. Galatians 2:11-14. And here the inspired Apostle Paul said, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" Well, Paul dealt with that issue with a gentle question to his brother and fellow apostle Peter. But notice, this is an occasion when the apostle Peter fell into a temptation. But when he fell to it in that particular situation, he was not walking uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, and neither was Barnabas. Now, these were two excellent men. These were two mighty pillars in the New Testament church in that first century. I mean, Barnabas had accompanied Paul on his first missionary journey. And, of course, Peter was the one that was known as the apostle to the circumcision, to the Jews. Peter and Barnabas, you're hard-pressed to find any that were Christians in that first century that we know about that would have been better examples of following the Lord. But in this particular situation, they got overtaken in a trespass. And in that particular situation, he's describing that as that they were not walking uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. So if there's any part of us in any way in our lives that we're not doing right, in that we are not walking uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Well, that shows us how to walk in truth. We need to be walking according to that truth of the gospel. And not just in most things. Is it sufficient for us? Is God happy enough with us if we're walking according to the truth of the gospel in most things? I mean, how many things were Peter and Barnabas walking uprightly according to the truth of the gospel in? I mean, most of it, weren't they? That's fair to say. But in this situation, they weren't. And was the Lord pleased with them when they weren't doing right in this situation? No, they needed to do right in that situation too. So we need to walk in the truth and in everything. 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And we're going to be judged according to whether or not we have walked in the truth, that is, having obeyed the truth. Romans 2:7-11 says, "To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respecter of persons with God." Well, he says those who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, are going to face that indignation and wrath from God. Whereas those who work good, and that would then translate into those who obey the truth, to use the very language there from verse 8, we have to obey the truth. And we're going to be judged, and our eternity is going to depend upon whether we've obeyed God's truth or not. That requires us to study and know the Scriptures, of course, and for the purpose of looking for areas that we are not walking in the truth, so we can make correction in that. John 3:16-21, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." If we do the truth, then we are going to come to this light, to the Word of God, to have our deeds revealed that they're wrought in God. And what does that mean? Well, we're coming to His Word, His light there, to see exactly what our deeds are as God sees them. Are they wrought in Him or are they not? Well, that is only going to be known according to that truth of God's Word. And we're supposed to come to look for that, looking to see if that is so. Which means if we see that there's something we're doing that isn't right with God, according to His Word, what are we going to do about it? That was what my dad used to always ask me when if I did something wrong, and he'd finally get me to the point where I would say, "Yeah, I did wrong there." And then he would say, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" That was always his follow-up. What are you going to do about it? Well, what do we do about it when we find out we're not doing right? We got to change. We got to do right. We can't do what we were doing before and continue to follow whatever that error was. We've got to do what God has taught us to do. So if we do that, though, we're going to end up spiritually where God intends for us to be. In 1 John 2:4-6, he says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth this word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him also himself also so to walk even as he walked." So when we walk according to his truth, he says God's love is going to be perfected in us. We will have all the parts of his love, his nature in us. The only way that's going to happen, though, is by our keeping his word, obeying that truth. So all these things we're studying about the nature of God, this is the overall study we're engaged in. Well, for us to have all of those things in us, not just some of it, not just most of us of it, but all of it, so that his love is completed in us, that we're not incomplete, lacking something, we've got to keep his word. We have to walk in that truth and obey that truth. Now, this is an opportunity for you tonight, if you're here and you're not yet a child of God. He speaks his truth about what we have to do to become his child, to become a Christian. Without being in Christ, we cannot be saved. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. We have to believe in him in order to have eternal life. We just read that in John 3, 16, and those verses that followed there. We have to believe in him, but that faith has to be demonstrated by obedience. He's become the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. And we already saw in Romans 2 what happens if we don't obey his truth. We're on the other side. Eternal life is for those who do obey him. And his commandment is that we all repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. And so tonight we're encouraging you to do that right now if that is your need. If you are a child of God, a Christian, and if you've not been following him, walking in his truth as you need to, this is an opportunity for you to make things right with him tonight. And we're encouraging anyone and everyone that is subject to the Lord's invitation this evening to come forward now while we stand together and sing.